Will you please turn to the letter to the Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read from verse 3 through verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the world's foundation, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having marked us out beforehand for sonship through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has taken us into favor in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of offenses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has caused to abound towards us in all wisdom and intelligence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, for the administration of the fullness of times, to head up all things in the Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. In him whom we have also obtained an inheritance, having marked ours beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who have pre-trusted in the Christ, in whom ye also have trusted, having heard the word of the truth, the glad tidings of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, ye have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the acquired possession to the praise of his glory. Let's have a word of prayer first. Dear Lord, we want to thank thee for gathering us together here this morning. And we are gathered unto thy name. We believe that thou art here with us, and we want to remove our shoes, prostrate before thee, and say, Lord, what hast thou to say to us? Speak, thy servants hear it. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Our God is the God of blessing. He is love. Therefore, he desires to bless. He is the fountain of all blessings. All blessings flow from him. In the very beginning, when God created man, you remember in Genesis chapter 1, after he made man in his own image, according to his own likeness, then he blessed them. It is the desire of our God to bless. He blessed them that they may be fruitful, fill the earth, subdue the enemy, and bring everything back to the feet of God. After he created the world in 6 days, on the seventh day he rested, and he blessed that day. So after man was created, immediately he was introduced into the rest of God. This is our God. God wants to bless. He does not want to curse. Curse comes in after the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 3, after man sinned, then curse came into this world. Because our God is a righteous God and will not the judge of man be righteous. Because of the fall of man, curse came upon this earth. Curse came upon the enemy of God, upon man and upon woman. But again we see that it is not the desire of God to curse. His desire is to bless. I think this is very evident if we look at the story of Job. Job feared God and abstained from evil. He was a perfect man. And God used Job to challenge his enemy. But his enemy said to God, "Is there not a reason for Job to fear you? It is because you have blessed him. You have put a hedge around him. You bless his family. You bless all his works. And that is the reason why Job feared you. If you take away the things that you have blessed him with, see if he will curse you at your face." So here you find curse is the desire of the enemy of God. He has no desire to bless anyone. His desire is to curse, because that is what he is. God took up his challenge, and God said, "Okay, you can touch everything that he has, but don't touch him." So Satan went out, destroyed all his children, all his properties, and Job bowed down and said, "God gives and God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Another day, Satan appeared before God, and God again challenged him. "Did you notice my servant Job? Even after you have attacked him and took away all that he was blessed with, he sinned not." And the enemy was so subtle, so wicked, he said, "A man will be gladly giving up everything to keep his own life if you touch his body, and then you will see what happened." Now God said, "You can do anything, but not his life." So Satan attacked him with boils all over his body. He sat in ashes, scratched himself. Even his wife suggested, "Curse God and die." But Job said, "We have received good from God. Shall we not receive evil from him too?" He did not sin with his lips. God allowed Satan to attack Job. Why? It is because God wanted to bless him even more. There was something in Job that gave the enemy the ground, his own self-righteousness. And God made use of Satan to purify Job of his self-righteousness, in order that God may bless him even more. So you remember, at the end of the book of Job, God blessed him with double blessing. It is the blessing of the firstborn. So, dear brothers and sisters, we find that our God loves to bless. And he is very reluctant to curse. This is our God. Now, if you hurriedly go over the Old Testament, you will find God always wants to bless. After the flood, he blessed Noah and his family. And after the Tower of Babel, you find he blessed Abraham. Our brother mentioned last night the blessing of Abraham. After the glory of God, the God of glory appeared to Abraham in Ur of Chaldea. He called him out of the land and of his kindred, and go to the place where God will settle him. And Abraham, by faith, went out, not knowing where he was going. But he knew the God that was leading him. And at that time, God bless him. Make him a great nation, a great name, a seed, a land, a blessing. And Abraham went out by faith. God promised him the land, but he was a stranger and sojourner in the promised land. God promised him a seed. His descendants shall be as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the seashore. But until he was 100 years old, he got only one son. But dear brothers and sisters, even though God promised him the land, a physical land, the land of Canaan, and yet Abraham knew God. And by faith, he looked through that physical blessing of the land into the city with foundations, whose builder is God. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. God promised him a seed, but it was not Isaac. It is Christ. And that is the reason why you'll find Abraham, by faith, he can penetrate through the times. And as you find in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 56, he saw the day of Christ and he rejoiced. Brothers and sisters, even though God's promise to Abraham was earthly, was physical, but that was only at the surface. Abraham, by faith, could look into the very depths of God's heart. And he could see all the spiritual blessings that God had promised to him. Then through Moses, God covenanted with his children, the children of Israel. God gave them the law. You know, brothers and sisters, we will not appreciate God. We will not appreciate the grace of God until we know ourselves. Because the children of Israel did not know themselves, they will not appreciate the grace of God. So God put them under law, under probation, that they may be shut up to faith, to Christ Jesus. You remember how God brought them to Mount Sinai and there gave them the Ten Commandments, the statutes and the ordinances, and made them his people. But brothers and sisters, under the law, it was conditional. If they keep the law, they will be blessed. If they violate the law, they will be cursed. And all the promises that God has promised to the children of Israel through Moses were physical, earthly, not spiritual, not heavenly. Why, these are but types and shadows. If you remain in the Old Testament, you will find at the end of the Old Testament, the word, the last word in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4 verse 6, is the word curse. If it depends upon ourselves, upon our work, brothers and sisters, it would end up in curse. But thank God, what we find in the Old Testament are the types and shadows. And these things exist until our Lord Jesus came. So when our Lord Jesus came, you find that the shadow passed away and the reality sets in. It is changing from the physical to the spiritual, from the earthly to the heavenly, from the temporal to the eternal. And so when you come to the New Testament time, brothers and sisters, what do you see there? You see that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So today, with us, what are we looking for from God? Are we looking from God physical blessings, earthly blessings, or are we looking at God for that which is spiritual and heavenly? You know, today even among God's people, consciously or unconsciously, what we are looking for from God is mainly physical blessing. We are looking for blessings on this earth. We think that this is blessing. Unconsciously, we do not look at spiritual blessing as the blessing, but rather as the physical one, as the blessing we need. So that's the reason why today in Christianity, the prosperity gospel is so much welcomed by God's people. We want to be blessed physically on earth. We think that is great. That makes us great Christians, having a great God. But dear brothers and sisters, the history of the children of Israel ought to teach us a lesson. God promised to bless them with all the physical blessings that you can expect. But are they worthy to enjoy these blessings? If you look into their history, you find they are blessed, but for a very short time. They spend more time under the curse of God than under the blessing of God. Why? Because when God blessed them and they became fat, then their heart hardened against God. They rebelled against God, and curse came upon them. In other words, they do not deserve to be blessed. They don't know how to enjoy God's blessing. They are unworthy of God's blessing, unfit for it. If God should bless us today with all the physical blessings that He has promised to the children of Israel. Now, brothers and sisters, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 27 and chapter 28, Moses told the children of Israel, before they enter into the promised land, he said, after you enter in, then you wrote the law of God on Mount Ebal. And there the children of Israel will be divided into two groups. One group will stand on Mount Ebal, and the other group will stand on Mount Gerizim. Those who stand on Mount Gerizim will bless, and those who stand on Ebal will curse. And then if you read Deuteronomy 27, you'll find it begins with curse, not with blessing. 12 curses. And only followed on chapter 28 with 4 blessings. And then after blessing, another 4 curses. So in other words, you'll find, if God should bless us with physical blessings, what will happen? We will turn away from God. We will fall into curse instead of blessing, because we are not worthy. Now, does it mean to say that today, with us believers, there will be no physical blessing? Everything is spiritual. No physical blessing whatsoever? No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Brothers and sisters, it is said, to see God's people today are seeking for physical blessings. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I be clothed with? These are the things that occupied our attention. And we look to God, our Heavenly Father, that He may give us such an abundance of food that we may grow fat. He will give us such luxuries to enjoy. We are not contented but godliness with contentment is great gain. We want more. Bless me. Bless me. But look, those who are physically blessed, we consider them as blessed. Those who are not physically blessed, we think they are not blessed. But look at their lives. And then you will see how many of those who are only physically blessed grow in the Lord, love the Lord with all their hearts, willing to deny themselves and follow the Lord. How many? Probably most of them are so indulged, drowned in the physical blessing. They have no time for the Lord. All for themselves. What a pity. Brothers and sisters, every perfect gift and good gift come from the Father of light. But remember, what God wants to bless His people and what is real blessing is spiritual, not physical. Because God is spirit. Therefore, He wants to give the best to His people. And the best blessing is spiritual blessing. Thank God, He does bless us physically. But remember, it is only within the context of spiritual blessing. In other words, if you are blessed physically first, without knowing His spiritual blessing, what will happen? It will eventually turn into a curse to your life. But if you seek for spiritual blessing first, and with that spiritual blessing you are blessed with, dear brothers and sisters, God can bless you physically and you'll be blessed continually. I do hope, dear brothers and sisters, that we may see this, that this will sink deeply into our heart. Seek not the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Added. Not to make you forget God. Added. Because He's your Heavenly Father. He knows all your needs. dear brothers and sisters, remember, in the Old Testament time, as our brother mentioned last night, the children of Israel were God's earthly people. Therefore, you find God's blessings to them are earthly. But we, who are the Lord's, we are a heavenly people. Therefore, God's blessing to us is basically spiritual blessing. And physical blessings are just added here. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, what should we look for today? Christ has already come. He has already accomplished everything. Therefore, what we should look for is spiritual blessing. Do not look for physical blessing. They are not the best. They are temporal. The temptation of the enemy today is to draw our attention away from that which is spiritual and into that which is physical. You remember that's the temptation that he tempted our Lord while he was on earth, turning stone into bread to fill your stomach. Worship Satan to get the whole world jumped from the temple that everybody may see you are special. You don't need a cross. You can get a crowd. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the temptation of the enemy. And how he has tempted God's people today. If we are truthful to ourselves, can you honestly say that what you are seeking today is spiritual blessing and not physical blessing? When you say, God bless me, what do you mean? Let us examine ourselves before the Lord. See what our heart is really seeking after. You know why God's people today do not grow as they should? Why is it that the promised blessing of God, spiritual blessing of God, does not seem to be our portion every day? Why? Why is it that the church today is so poor spiritually? Why is it that our fellowship is like squeezing water out instead of flowing as rivers of living water? Why? Is it because in our daily life we are occupied more for seeking physical blessings instead of spiritual blessing? Oh, I do pray that the Lord will change our heart attitude. Again, I say, it doesn't mean that God will not bless you with physical blessing. If he wills, he will. But he does not don't know that. Because without it, you may have more spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. In other words, God, who is the God of blessing, He now blesses us as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when our Lord Jesus, after our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, He sent a message to His brethren, His disciples, through Mary. Go and tell my brethren, I ascend to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Brothers and sisters, this is something wonderful. Our Lord Jesus shared fully His Father with us, and He shared fully His God with us. God is the God of our Lord Jesus. What a God He is. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus. What a Father He is. And yet, because of the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus, the Lord said, my Father is your Father. My God is your God. The Father that our Lord Jesus knows is to be known by us as well. What a knowledge of the Father. You know, I often pray, Lord, I want to know you. Brothers and sisters, how much of God do you really know? How much of God as Father do you really know? The Lord share His God and His Father with us. He wants us to know God and Father as He knows Him. And it is in that relationship, God as the Father and God of our Lord Jesus, it is in that relationship He has blessed us. Not just as the God of creation, so we are today in a position so much better than the people under the old covenant. Today, God is our God, and the God of our Lord Jesus is our God. God is our Father, and He is the Father of our Lord Jesus. And it is in that relationship that God has blessed us. So how much more blessing we are being blessed today. And the Bible said He has blessed us. Now to us, who are in this mortal body, we are still restricted by time and space. So with us, we have the past, the present, and the future. But God, with God, is only present. So He said He has blessed us. God has already blessed us. We may not receive it yet, experience it yet, but He has already given. God has blessed us. It is not something that is going to happen, but it's something already there, because it is in Christ Jesus. It's already there. And all we need to do is, by the Spirit of God, we experience them more and more. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. There is not one spiritual blessing that is not there. Why? Because God loves His Son. He has blessed His Son with everything. You know, just like Abraham, he loved Isaac, and he gave his all to Isaac. God loved His only beloved Son, and He gave everything to His Son. Every spiritual blessing that God can bless, He has blessed His Son. It is all in Christ Jesus. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily, and ye are complete in Him. God will spare not His Son, will not withhold any good things from us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So every spiritual blessing that you can think of, dear brothers and sisters, is already there. It's already given. It is in Christ Jesus, given to you. And all we need to do is to enter in and to enjoy them. All the spiritual blessings. All that you need spiritually is already here. In the heavenlies. Now we know the heavenlies are the heavenly place. You cannot try to confine it into a physical location. The heavenlies is a heavenly realm. There is a heavenly realm. Just like the earthly, there is an earthly realm. And in that heavenly realm, you remember in Ephesians chapter 1, as our Lord Jesus was risen from the dead, God has set Him at His right hand in the heavenlies and made Him head over all things. Put everything under His feet. Now that's the heavenlies. Christ Jesus today is sitting at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. And then Ephesians chapter 2, we are quickened with Him, with Christ. We are risen from the dead with Christ. And we are now seated with Christ in the heavenlies. So far as our physical bodies are concerned, we are here. We are sitting here. The brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking, where are you seated now? You are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. In that heavenly realm, you're seated with Christ. In the heavenly realms, the angels who are there, are there. In Ephesians chapter 3, you'll find that the principalities and authorities in the heavenlies, they will learn from the church the all wisdom of God. You know, the church has something to teach the angels. And they are in the heavenlies. They are ministers to the redeemed of the Lord. And in the heavenlies too, in Ephesians chapter 6, you'll find the wicked spirit. They are also in the heavenlies. And they are trying to obstruct the will of God. But thank God, in Christ Jesus, the church is like a warrior that can stand, withstand, and stand for the will of God. So if you take the picture of Canaan, probably it will help you to see it. When the children of Israel entered into Canaan, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It speaks of the fullness of Christ. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Canaan. Everything was there. Houses already built, wells already dug, fields already planted, everything was ready. In Christ Jesus, every spiritual blessing is already there. But also, you find the children of Israel, in order to possess their possession, they have to fight the good fight. Because the enemy is also there, trying to withstand, to prevent them from enjoying what God has given to them. And that's the same thing with us today. We have to fight with a good fight. But if we are close with Christ, the victory is already there. So dear brothers and sisters, where can we enjoy every spiritual blessing? Or to put it in another way, why is it that today we do not enjoy the spiritual blessing that God has promised us? Why? Well, because we are not in the heavenlies. Experientially speaking, we are too earthly. Our whole attention is focused on the earth. Seek not the things of this world, but seek the things that are above, when our Lord Jesus is and our life is hid with Him in God. So dear brothers and sisters, if we are more heavenly, if we live more in the heavenlies, then you will find you will be able to enjoy all the spiritual blessings that God has promised you. In the heavenlies, in Christ. Everything is in Christ. And God has put us in Christ. But the thing is, do we abide in Christ? The Lord said, I'm the true vine, ye are the branches. I in you, you in me. But in order to enjoy the sap, the nourishment of the vine, the branch has to abide in the vine. If we abide in Christ, then He abides in us. And all that He is, become ours. Our problem is not with position, because position has nothing to do with us. Position is what God has done in Christ Jesus for us. It is finished. So if we believe in the Lord Jesus, that position is already there. We are in Christ. But our problem is with our condition. Are we abiding in Christ Jesus? How? In 1 John chapter 2, we are told, there is an anointing within us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He will teach us in all things, great and small. And what He teaches is true and is not false. If we obey the teaching of the anointing, we abide in Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, if we daily obey the teaching of the anointing within us, then we abide in Christ. And if we abide in Christ, and every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies has been given to us. So first of all, we need to seek for heavenly blessing, spiritual blessing, and not just earthly blessing. Number two, how can we really be blessed with spiritual blessing? We need to be in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And if we are there, then brothers and sisters, all of these will be ours. Because it is the delight of God to bless. Now let us look a little bit on the blessings, the spiritual blessing that He has blessed us with. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 3 to verse 14, just give us a bird's eye view of the spiritual blessing that God has blessed us with. It is not exhaustive, it is illustrative, but it gives us a bird's eye view of the spiritual blessing that we are blessed with. And what are they? You know, when you read that section, probably you'll find that it is too complicated. Why? Because Paul, when he wrote it, his heart was so full, and he really was not able to put everything on paper. So out of the fullness of his heart, he just tried to pile all these things together, one after another, and grammatically, he doesn't mind. So here you find, when we read this, sometimes we find it is a little bit difficult. Recently I'm reading it again. And as I read it, I think maybe if we can divide them into three parts. The first part is the glory of His grace. The second part is the riches of His grace. And the third part is the praise of His glory. Now maybe dividing into these parts, it will be a help to us. Now from verse 4 to verse 6, we may say it is the glory of His grace. Brothers and sisters, when you come to spiritual blessing, Remember, it is a matter of grace. It is all grace. Grace means God provided, God gives to us freely. All you do is to receive it by faith with thankfulness. You will find that you have done nothing in all these things. It is all His doing. It is His love. It is grace, pure grace. And He said, the glory of His grace. Now, whenever you find the word glory, you know it has something to do with the purpose of God, with the will of God. God is glory. Therefore, whatever He plans and whatever He gives of His grace must fit with His glory. What He prepares is for His glory, not just for our benefit, but it is for His glory. So His grace is so glorious. Now, in what sense His grace is glorious? Read this. According as He has chosen us in Him before the world's foundation. Now, do you have anything to do with that? Before the world's foundation, where were you? We are nowhere. And yet, before the world's foundation, God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. He chose us not because of us. He chose us because of His Son. Some people may have problem with God's choice or divine election. But I thank God for that. Why? Because it gives me the firmest assurance. How can I be sure? If I look at myself, I cannot be sure for a second. Can you be sure of yourself? What will you be the next moment? Where will you be? We are not sure. But brothers and sisters, if God has chosen you before the world's foundation, nothing can change it. He chooses us not because of you. You are not there. You haven't spent a day on earth. You haven't done anything yet. Not even in your mother's womb. And yet, God has already chosen you in Christ. What assurance that gave us. And what love is behind it. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world. Your salvation is not an accident. Are you sure of that? You are on solid ground. On the rock of ages. And it says He has chosen you. For what? That we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Now people today are troubled with this matter of divine election. People say, well, I don't know if God has chosen me to be saved, or God has chosen me to be condemned. Brothers and sisters, the Bible does not teach this. When God has chosen you, it is more than a matter of out of hell into heaven. You know, we think out of hell into heaven, that's great. Nothing can be greater than that. But to God, that's nothing. He has chosen you before the world's foundation. For what? That He may fill the heaven with people? No. Well, if He really filled the heaven with people like us today, it would become hell. He has chosen us before the world's foundation that we may be holy. Brothers and sisters, our God is holy. And because He is holy, He wants us to be holy. Like Him. Holy simply means separated unto God. We are completely separated from ourselves, from what we are, and completely devoted to Him and what He is. Holy is to be like God. That godliness, to be like God. And as Brother mentioned last night, to be transformed and conformed to the image of His beloved Son. Brothers and sisters, this is what we are chosen with. You are chosen to be like God's beloved Son, that He may be the firstborn among many brethren, and leading them into glory. Now that is what we are chosen with. Holy and without blemish. Blameless. In love. Love covers a multitude of sins. How can we be without blemish? We are full of spots and wrinkles, but His love will wash us clean, that we may be holy and blameless before Him in love. Now, that is spiritual blessing. And then He says, having marked us out beforehand for sonship through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. He has marked us out. That is what He wants us to be. He has marked us out for sonship, the placing of sons. When we are saved, we are children. We are babes in Christ. But God wants us to grow into maturity, into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And after we have grown into maturity, He will place us as sons, together with His only begotten Son, to receive, to be heirs and co-heirs of all things. Now, this is what God has chosen us and has predestined us to be. So, He here you'll find the glory of His grace. It is all His grace. His grace will do the work. Only if you allow His grace to work in you. You see, our problem is we stand against the grace of God. If we allow His grace to work in our lives, He will accomplish it so that God may be glorified. Now that is the glory of His grace. And then following it, you have that phrase, the riches of His grace. Now here you'll find His grace is so rich. The Bible tells us of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this unsearchable riches of Christ is grace to us. So that grace is rich. And a few examples are given. And here you'll find He has taken us into favor in the Beloved. You know, our Lord Jesus is God's favorite. And in Christ Jesus, God has taken us into favor. In other words, we become God's favorites in Christ Jesus. You know, to be favored by God, that's something. Favor by man is nothing. How we seek to be favored by man. But that's nothing. Thank God, the riches of His grace. He has brought us into favor. We become, every one of us become God's favorite. You know, that's the reason why we always feel, why God favors me so much? Of the whole world, as if He is just for me. Why? Well, because He loves you. And of course He says, redemption through His blood. We are redeemed. We were slaves. We were under the curse of law. We were under bondage. Our future was nothing. It was death. Eternal death. And yet our Lord Jesus paid a tremendous price for us. Even His own blood. He bought us with His own blood. He redeemed us out of the curse of the law, out of the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His love. Dear brothers and sisters, we can never forget that. Forgiveness of our sins. Though our sins are as red as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. That's the riches of His grace. And finally, praise of His glory. And again we say, glory is always connected with God Himself, with His purpose, with His will. So according to His will, what is His eternal purpose? What has He purposed in Himself, even in eternity past? What is it that He has counseled, planned, to accomplish in eternity to come? What is it? To head up all things in Christ. You know, in God's heart, there's only one person. His beloved Son, Christ Jesus. And God, because of His love to His own Son, He wants to sum up, to gather up, to head up all things in Christ. Things in the heavens, things on the earth. Nothing excepted. Everything is to speak of Christ. Everything is to glorify Christ. Everything is to manifest Christ. Brothers and sisters, today we have not seen everything under His feet, but we do see Jesus. made a little inferior than angels, and for the suffering of death, now is crowned with glory and honor. So we know that the day is coming, and God is working towards it, to sum up all things in Christ. In other words, whether things in the heavens or things on earth, when you look at them, you see the glory of Jesus Christ. And thank God, in that plan, He has included us. He has joined us to His beloved Son. We are the ones who are pre-trusted in Christ. He has not only given us an inheritance in Christ Jesus, or to put it another way, Christ is our inheritance. He has also made us His inheritance. And it is all through the sealing of the Holy Spirit and the pledge of the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit. So, dear brothers and sisters, here you'll find it's all related to the purpose of God. And it is all unto the praise of His glory, that He may be praised. So, dear brothers and sisters, what are the spiritual blessings? To put it into one word, Christ. He is the spiritual blessing. Every blessing that God can bless you with are in Him and out of Him. And when you really enter into these blessings, what do you discover? You discover it is Christ. That He may be all and in all to the glory of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in Thy presence, seeing what Thou have done in Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast put all things in Him, and Thou hast put us in Him. Dear Lord, we pray that our hearts may be so occupied with Thyself, that we may enjoy all these spiritual blessings that I promise with. And in enjoying them, seeing that it is Christ Himself that we enjoy. We pray that this may be real and increasingly real to every one of us, to the praise of Your glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.